Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, the goofiest looking animals in the animal kingdom, who are actually super dope. Animals that look like extinct prehistoric Muppets, to weird deer-rabbit hybrids, to the fish that actually do smile back. These animals may look like goofuses, but we love them. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, do you want a vacation on a pile of poop? Joining me today is comedian, goofy animal lover, also studied evolutionary biology, and the host of Jeff Has Cool Friends, Jeff May. Welcome!
Hey, it's me. It's me. I'm the host of Jeff Has Cool Friends and 40 other podcasts. There's so many of them. I'm so excited to talk about goofy idiots. I love it so much.
I asked you to come on the show and I asked what you want to talk about. And you're like goofy guys, goofuses.
I like a goofus.
You like a goofus.
I like a good goofus. I like somebody that looks like he'd be like,
Oh, we've
like
got lots of those.
That's the kind of animal that I want. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got lots of those. In fact, the first one, I think, looks more than anything like he would sound like that. What is your opinion of rhinos, Jeff?
I think they're pretty chill. I like that they have real dinosaur energy, mm-hmm. even though they're not, like, you know, they're like, let's put a weapon on me.
Yeah.
I think that's really fun. A visible weapon on an animal, I think, is really fun when you think about rhinos and you think about like, or elephants with tusks or a narwhal or something like that. When you're like, oh, they got like a shank on them. I always find that very fascinating that we just let, but evolutionary biology leads to the coolest looking things. And like, why do they have that? And like, oh, there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it when it's just kind of stuck on too. Like it. And then we just put a horn right here. Sticking on.
Yeah. They're like little tanks. They're like little living tanks. I think that's real fun.
It's super fun. And there are actually multiple species of rhinos. There are 5 species, and one of the much lesser known species is the Sumatran rhino. And this is a fascinating little rhino. They are found in the forests on the island of Sumatra, although they once had a much wider range. And they are the smallest of the rhinos and are critically endangered due to overhunting, poaching, and illegal logging, the usual suspects. So there are under 100 Sumatran rhinos that still exist in the wild. So these are very rare, and we don't know as much about them as we should if they weren't so endangered. But what we do know about them is really interesting. Despite being the smallest rhino, they're still pretty big. They're about 1,800 pounds or 800 kilograms and are a little under 5 feet tall or 1.5 meters. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, but I would say I was a little bit bummed because I was like, a tiny rhino. I just want to cradle it.
Oh, papoose. And then you're
like, it's about 1,000 pounds. And I'm like, ah, it would be harder to cradle it, but yeah. I'm still going to try.
I mean, the fact it's like under 5 feet tall, though, and you could be like, hey, little buddy, you know?
Yeah, real petting zoo energy out of an animal that size.
Yeah, probably like not, but also I want it to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. if it was a dangerous animal, why would it look like I should be riding it right now?
Right, exactly. Yes. Yeah. That is the correct way to view wildlife is if it looks like I should ride it, I should definitely get on it. Just make sure your life insurance is sort of squared away with that one.
I mean, if you don't try, I don't know why you're even here. Like if you're not even making the attempt.
That is the sort of decision making a lot of people have when it comes to like bison, where they're like, you're just a big furry cow. And then suddenly you're like high fiving Abraham Lincoln in heaven.
Yeah. Bison are like, bison remember what happened in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
They're not going to let that go.
No, no. So Sumatran rhinos are also known as the hairy rhino because they are covered in a fine layer of reddish brown hair, especially on its ears and on its tail. So they are, you know, shockingly furry.
And I'm expected not to pet this baby?
I mean, I feel like you could try and then enjoy your last few moments on Earth.
I really would. I really would enjoy those moments. Like, if that's, there's no better way to go out.
Right. Yeah,
you know?
Just like.
You'd be like.
Petting a cute but dangerous animal.
Yeah. Bliss. Mm-hmm. You know? And like, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to go through like a really uncomfortable ride home. Like, you ever go on a road trip and the part where you have to go home and you're like, this is taking forever and I'm already, the high is gone and I'm just miserable now. You're not going to get that if you pet that sweet baby biscuit and then the next thing you know, you're in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in heaven, you just get to keep petting it.
No, it's great. A great way to save on gas is to get trampled by an angry rhino mother. Yes, absolutely. So,
and with gas prices this high.
I mean, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't look a rhino, gift rhino in the mouth? So
you're losing money not petting the rhino is what I'm saying.
So the adult rhinos are quite fluffy, but the babies are extremely hairy and very, very silly looking. They don't really look real. Their horns haven't really grown in yet. And so they look just like this fuzzy Muppet with like a big nose and fluffy ears. They look like some kind of reconstruction of like bad taxidermy reconstruction of like an extinct woolly rhino baby, but they're real.
Yeah, the Henson energy off of the baby is unreal.
Yes.
Like if you look at a photo of the baby, you're like, that's not a real animal.
Right. Right. You're like, this is a puppet and it's going to be in the new Dark Crystal movie.
Look at its face. It's so funny because it has like the face of a different animal. It looks like an animal wearing a mask.
I know. Yeah. Because like the face has less hair on it. So it's like you stuck sort of a weird... I mean, it's not even really a rhino face because the horns haven't really developed yet, but it looks like you stuck something on like a big sort of koala's body. And it's
it looks like kind of like a wild boar wearing like a bootleg Joe Camel mask.
Right. And it's got a little bit of an underbite going on in this picture. I don't think it typically has an underbite, but this one's chewing on some grass. So this one's kind of got a little bit of the, hey, what you doing kind of look going on. Yeah. So why do Sumatran rhinos have hair? One would think that it's for warmth, but the opposite is actually true. The rhino uses mud to keep cool and keep pests off its skin. Have you ever done like a mud mask, you know, for relaxation, beautification purposes?
I'm neither relaxed nor beautiful. I've never been able to get involved in that. I mean, I may have, like, I've worn mud masks, I guess.
Like,
I've never done a mud bath or anything like that.
I've never done like full on get in a big pool of mud type of thing, but I've definitely tried the mud masks. The thing is, like, mud masks, like when your face you know, doesn't have a lot of hair, it's fine. But like if you put it on, like, you know, say like I put it on a leg or an arm and there's like some hair there, even if it's just peach fuzz, and you try to get it off, it's like when it dries, it gets really stuck to the hairs and it's not the best situation.
I'm a bearded gent.
Yeah.
So I would have to say that maybe this is not the best process for me to do. If I do put a mask on, it would basically look like a domino mask. I'd look right. like the ultimate warrior or something like that.
It is kind of fun. Like I have a mud mask that's sort of like as it dries, it kind of constricts your face. So I very much look like a desiccated corpse with it on. And it is fun, especially like wander in. Sneak up on my husband and just kind of like go like, am I pretty?
Why don't you love me?
So, yes. Yeah, so the same principle of why when you have like a dried mud mask on like a hairy part of your body kind of hurts if it's not like if you don't get it completely wet to wash it off. It's the same reason that these rhinos have this hair. The mud sticks to their hide really well. Sticks and gets right into that hair, sticks into that hair, and then it keeps them cool and it prevents pests and parasites from getting onto their skin.
That's nice.
I know. These guys really are living the spa lifestyle. They love to wallow in pools of mud and just relax and feel beautiful.
That makes me think that's why I would put a mud mask on is to keep parasites off.
Mm-hmm. It's a smart decision.
I think we can all agree that's the correct decision. Yeah.
Yeah. They, despite their like muddy, scrappy, kind of goofy appearance, looking like weird prehistoric Muppets, they are agile swimmers, climbers, and runners, and they're surprisingly fleet-footed.
I mean, they're so compact, you know? Yeah.
Just little
guys.
Little turbo dudes.
They're little fast tanks.
Right, exactly.
I love them so much. Get in my arms, little hairy baby.
I know. Gosh, I would love to cuddle this baby before getting absolutely pulverized by its mother. So they're not particularly social. They usually only hang out in mother-calf pairs, or they may meet to mate. To mark their territory, they'll actually scrape up a little divot with their hind legs and then poop and pee in it. So, you know, it's just like, here's my calling card. Here's a little mini hole with my poop in it.
A toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
They make a little latrine.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, this is my area. Here's my turlet. They also poop and pee excessively in response to threats. So like if a human approaches them, they're actually pretty skittish of humans because they are, while they are still big and capable, they're scared of humans. They don't want to deal with you. And so they will start pooping and peeing themselves. And it's thought that the excessive amounts of poop that like a mother will do is to distract the predator and allow her calf time to like hide. Because the predator is just like, what is going on, lady? Why are you pooping so much?
It's real Three Stooges energy to how to distract an enemy.
Is yeah.
To just like kind of go curly and start whooping everywhere.
Like, check it out. Poop.
But with poop.
Yeah.
So yeah, you may think this horn is something, but wait till you see the other end.
Yeah. I do feel powerful like when I'm walking my dog. Not because my dog is in any way capable of defending me. She's a tiny little chihuahua mutt. But when I pick up her poops, I now have a poop flail because I have it in a little baggie, right? And then if there's someone who's like scaring me, right, you know, you just kind of like fling your poop flail and there you go. Just distract them. By the time they realize like, wait, what a minute, what is this? Is this poop? And then you're gone. You're gone in a way.
Yeah, it's chimpanzee by proxy. You know, like you don't, you're still that primate wanting to throw poop.
Right.
But you have a controlled situation.
Yeah,
to do
exactly.
That.
Yeah. Intellectual poop throwing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're outsourcing the pooping.
Right, that's how we do it as more developed beings.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, right. Is the outsourcing is what separates us from the apes.
Last cute little fact about these guys is that they communicate with whistles and honks. So just...
What?
Just imagine one of these little Muppets stuck on, like, a Fozzie Bear body going like, honk.
That's the cutest part.
It's so cute.
Because there's no grunting. When you think rhinoceros, you think grunt, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's like, if I say the word grunt, the picture of a rhinoceros enters my head. And I think that's fair. I think most of you are now going to do that forever. This guy doing little whistles?
Little whistles, like a little, and honks.
Like a little dolphin?
Yeah.
Or honks like a little goose?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, it's, I don't know exactly what they sound like. I think they're quite rare, so it's kind of difficult to get those sounds. But I would imagine it's similar to other species of rhinos who also have surprisingly squeaky honks, especially the calves.
Do you have a favorite wild animal sound?
I have so many favorite wild animal sounds that I have a whole game that you get to play at the end of the podcast, where it's called Guess Who's Squawking. And I will present you with an animal sound, and you'll have to guess who's making that sound. I'll say one of my favorite sounds are baby rhinos. We've done that one, and it is so cute. Oh, play that right now. Why not?
Oh, okay. I'm not mad about that. Okay.
So that's a baby rhino. I think these are white rhinos.
That's very cute.
It's extremely cute.
I would humbly request that one of the animals you do not have for me is a Fisher cat.
Oh yeah. The
that, as a New England boy, let me tell you, there's a reason we thought they were witches in the woods.
Yeah, they sound like screaming like demons.
Babies. They sound like someone's demon doing babies. Something awful to a baby in the woods at midnight. Like, there's no way past it. Your first interaction with a Fisher cat sound is the most horrifying thing you'll ever hear.
In fact, let's listen to it right now.
No. No, thank you. And sometimes they're even more like pitched.
Yeah.
Like more like higher pitched, and that
really sells the baby, the demon baby, or like satanic ritual going on.
They're also a fearless animal.
Oh yeah, they'll take down things like bigger than them.
They are not afraid of people.
Yeah.
Like if you see a Fisher cat, it's just basically looks at you and is like, "What you looking at?" Like,
yeah.
It's really.
So Fishers aren't really cats. They're
it's a weasel.
Yeah, the Mustelid family. But yeah, they're not that huge, but they look sort of, you know, they've got somewhat cat like. They look like a long raccoon, but sort of a rusty color all over. And yeah, they are absolutely little demons. Yeah.
It's the Northeast's version of like a badger.
Right.
Or like a little Wolverine or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're scary.
Just a real, real, real demonic animal.
It's funny because we live on a planet where a rhino is a lot less threatening. Like a rhino species like this Sumatran rhino, I think is a lot less threatening than something called a Fisher cat, which sounds like it should be cute and adorable. And a rhino sounds like it should be scary. But the Sumatran rhino is this cute, fuzzy little squeaker. And the Fisher cat is like a demonic force of like makes a screaming baby sound and can kill things larger than itself.
Did you ever see a Trilogy of Terror, that old horror trilogy with the little statue that runs around trying to kill the woman?
Oh God.
It's like pretty famous little tribal statue that she imports, and it ends up being like haunted or something, and it attacks her. That's what a Fisher cat is.
Oh,
so
God.
Those of you that are familiar with Trilogy of Terror, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Fisher cat is the animal version of that little guy. Not like these cute little baby rhinos here.
I know.
I'm going to put them in my pocket.
They will not fit, but unless you have cargo pants from the 90s.
Yeah, I'm going to put them in my JNCOs.
In your JNCO. They may fit in a JNCO. I think they may fit in a JNCO.
Smuggle them out in my JNCOs. You got any rhinos in those JNCOs? Look, man, I'm just here to have a good time in my or my kickwear. I'm just here listening to Incubus. I'm not causing any troubles.
JNCO jeans really changed the illegal smuggling game. Like, just made it
so much easier.
Right.
It's the hoop skirt of dirt bags.
Right,
the
exactly. Jinko G.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Jeff, you mentioned you wanted to talk about the capybara, but we're not gonna, because I have before. So
I figured.
So sad, too bad. But instead, we're going to talk about this thing, and I just want you to look at it.
Oh, I sure am.
How would you describe this little feller?
He looks capybara adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a... Geez, how do I describe him? He looks like a capybara and a rabbit made a babby. Made a little precious
made a babby.
Little baby.
Yeah, to me it looks like a deer and a rabbit hybrid thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Real, like, he's got little legs that don't seem to fit the body. The legs Mm-mm. should be stubbier.
No, the legs are way too long for its little portly body.
Yeah. It looks like a little sausage on toothpicks.
Yeah.
Which I think is very a very sleek animal. It also looks like, if you squint, it looks like a dog.
Yeah. I would definitely be hoodwinked into, like, getting, like, hey, here's a dog up for adoption. And yeah. I'd be like, yes, sold to me.
Yeah. If someone was like, yeah, this is a bovine terrier,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I see it. I see what that is. Yeah.
It's a nubtail Arndale bovine terrier. And it's like, yeah, absolutely.
It sure is. Let's put him in Westminster and see how it
best
does.
Best of class. So
there it is.
What is it? Well, it's found in Argentina in arid grasslands, shrub, and desert areas. It is actually a large rodent. It weighs
like the capybara.
Like the capybara. It weighs around 35 pounds or 16 kilograms and are about 1.5 feet or 45 centimeters tall at the shoulder. And yes.
Does this mean that I can cradle it like a baby?
You could cradle it like a baby, although you might get kicked in the face like a little bit. So
worth it.
Jeff is willing to die to pet a cute wild animal. And I can't say I approve, because, like, I think that would annoy the wild animals. However, you got to admire the commitment.
I would say I'm not necessarily willing to die, but I can take a shot to the face
right.
once or twice.
You could lose a nose.
I was a boxer. I've taken a lot of punches
right.
to the face. So a little 35-pound precious little rodent kitty
right.
In my hands. Oh, I mean, yeah. And I obviously don't want to bother him, but I feel like I could win him over and really make him enjoy the time.
Maybe you could become friends.
Yeah.
So there's a good reason that you are seeing a lot of capybara in these guys, because they are in the cavy family. So they are related to both guinea pigs and capybaras. So these are like capybaras, but sort of the runway version, where they've got the really long legs, they've got the stilettos, they're working the runway, whereas capybaras are much more sausage-like. These are like sausage, but on sort of stilts.
Yeah, they're elevated.
Right.
It's like when you see those houses on the shore on the East Coast. And you're just like, oh, yeah, this one's built for hurricane season. That's
yeah.
why.
So they don't have hooves, but their feet are kind of small and hoof-like. And so their movement is kind of interesting. They can hop like a rabbit, they can gallop, or they can stot. So stotting, or pronking, which I guess are real words, is hopping on all fours at once, which is typically something done by deer or antelope.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. Yeah, they have... Their feet kind of look like German Shepherd feet.
Yeah, a little dainty. Dainty little feets. And then the just the fact that they pronk, which, again, I guess is a real word, where they're just like, you've seen that, like where deer or antelope do the little thing where it's like, doot, 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 doot. You know, just like the little
doing
jumping.
The hat dance, yeah. I would like to say that is the official movement of the Goofy Bastard. So
yeah,
that does land.
Boinga, 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 boinga.
Yeah, yeah. Like there should be bouncy sounds edited into all nature documentaries about this animal.
So I don't usually quote Wikipedia on the show, but I do love this line from the Wikipedia on these guys. Quote, its tail is short, depressed, and hairless, which, you know, which one among us aren't sometimes?
As a member of the Los Angeles comedy scene, I am familiar with many versions of that tail in person form.
But yeah, its tail is very strange. So you look at its butt and you think that, like, what is that thing kind of sticking out? Like, is it a little poo-poo? Like, what is
looks
that?
Looks like a poop.
It looks like a little poop. Nope, that's his tail.
Oh. It looks like he's got a turtle head going on back there, but in reality, that's his little tail.
Little naked tail.
Like when you think about like what tails are used for, I'm like, that doesn't seem useful.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of on its way out, right? It's like
mid evolution. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, we don't really need this. I think it does it helps them in terms of like scent marking, so they still have it, but they don't need much of it. You know, it doesn't need to be furry. And so it's just this little nub to rub their stench on things.
Yeah, just a little dabble, do you? Look at it. I mean, it is funny that its tail is the tail version of it as an animal. Just like this little goofy, stubby-looking thing sticking out of a goofy, stubby-looking thing.
Little sausage coming out of a sausage. Yeah. It's just sausage and sausage and sausage. So
it's real putting a hat on a hat energy here with this guy.
Putting a sausage on a sausage. So they are herbivores, and they basically live in hippie communes. They form these lifelong monogamous relationships with the males being much more clingy than the females. They will follow the females around, marking them with pee, like they'll pee on the females, be like, you're my wife, and then they'll leave more markings in her path, sort of creating this like zone around the female where he's just like constantly peeing and leaving scent markings. He's like heralding her, but instead of tossing romantic rose petals, he's pooping around the female.
I mean, they don't have like jobs, so they can't buy rose petals.
Right.
So I guess you got to work with what you have.
Right.
You know, it's very sweet that he uses all his pee for that, you know?
Yeah, I guess in a way it is. Here's more romance for you. Males will pee on the female's butt and then the female will pee in the male's face. So, you know, whatever floats their boat. That's what I'm going to say.
Honestly, we don't shame here on Creature Features here. Like, this is one of those situations where you're like, you guys, this is what. All right, man.
Yeah. Cool. You know what?
I don't have to do it, you know?
Consent is key. So.
Yeah. Which seems to me like this is a very consensual situation.
I think so, yes. Yeah. So they will often live with other couples in communal warrens. So, yeah, this like big hippy-dippy colony where there is often this like, they just have all the young kind of inside this giant burrow living together. Typically, mothers will really only nurse their own offspring, but sometimes someone else's kid is going to like sneak in a sip of milk.
That always happens.
You know, you make sandwiches for your kid and then like the neighbor kid comes over and is all sticky and asking for a sandwich. And what are you going to do?
Not feed the kid.
Not feed the kid. Well, some of the females will decide not to do that and actually shove the baby away. That's not their own, which is really funny. But sometimes they don't. It kind of depends on their mood.
Depends on how cool they are.
the cool mom, the cool giant rodent mom.
Just walking around engaging in water sports and beating up other people's kids.
Right. And, you know, but it is kind of cool. They all live in this communal warren, and it does help keep them safer. You know, there's safety in numbers. And then, you know, last fun, cute fact about these little guys is they will eat their own poop to redigest nutrients, just like other cavies.
Why not?
Yeah. You know what? Waste you know not, what? Want not.
This is not a... This is not an animal that is burdened by the shame of Christianity.
No, no, very much no.
This guy knows what he's, they know what they're doing.
No, I would say shame or disgust are not things known to this fun little sausage on stilts.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little bold, live your own life kind of a situation.
Right. It's like, you know, they live in a commune. They hang out, the males, you know, poop around the females, pee on each other.
They pee on each other.
They're just living their best lives freely. Yeah,
that's really sweet.
Away from judgment.
Look, you got to be Inuit to take it to the face.
Right.
Like, you know, like I understand like, oh, yeah, you got me on the butt. Oh, stop it. You know, like I could understand that. But like then when it's like, all right, turn around. He's like. This is what I signed up for. And in that situation, you're like, okay, this is like ravenous consent.
Yeah. I think, and it's interesting, the peeing also works as a way of the female communicating to the male. Cause like
very specific message.
Well, the message for like some of the pee, like when the female pees on a male's face is like, I am not reproductively receptive right now. So there's no point. And so he's like, okay. And then, you know, that's that. It's like, hey, you know what? You shot your shot, but no, it's just pee. And he's like, all right.
I've dealt with similar things emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like not physically, but you know, energy is still there.
What would be a spray of pee to the face emotionally?
I mean, I think the stereotypically sitcom answer to that would be, oh, I have a headache.
Right. You know, you're like, or like the timing, like, or in general sort of relationship stuff. It's just like, well, the timing's just not right, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
You get that.
Yeah.
But with less urine, like not.
Less urine. But again, communication is key, whether it's with words or urine.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, look, urine is the words of the body. So we've all been there.
Sure. I'm going to say yes, fine. Consent.
You're gonna yes and this one straight through.
I'm gonna do that. Yes. So I would say though, unless you are a Patagonian Mara, I would potentially use your words rather than your pee-pee. Unless first, it's in snow.
Absolutely.
Unless it's like in snow and you're actually writing words in snow with pee, then I think that's like, you know, it's like, hey, left for the grocery store, soup's in the oven. Then you kind of run out of pee, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the one thing I miss about living in New England is not having to pay for all those notebooks.
Right. Hey, yeah, I mean, it's a useful thing, right? Like, especially when you're on the trail, you don't have a pen and paper, and you're like, bears ahead, and you pee that right in there.
Yeah, which is going to attract the bears.
Right.
So that's.
And so they'll definitely be ahead.
Yeah. There's a real cause and effect situation happening in one of those situations.
Right. It's like, look at this bear, and then you know it'll come because it'll come.
I'm gonna cuddle that bear before I go though.
Right. It'll.
You ever see a bear's ears? I'm gonna touch them.
Yeah, it's like you see in the snow like a pee message that's like, I'm gonna cuddle this bear, and then you don't know if it's because you ran out of pee or if the bear got you.
Or. If you were too busy cuddling.
Right. That's the third unlikely option.
You don't know until you try.
That's true. And you know for then a very short amount of time, but at least you know.
It's fair. I feel like you're really doubting my ability to pet the bear, but.
No. Oh, no.
We'll
I'm not doubting
who has
your
the last laugh, Katie.
I'm not doubting your ability to pet the bear. I'm just saying that. You'll probably get a pet in, and then that'll be about it for the rest of your life.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So we're going to leave our beautiful hairy rhinos and our wonderful giant long-legged poopin' rodents, and we're going to go into the ocean and look at the world's most photogenic fish, the parrotfish. I just take a look, Jeff, and enjoy. Just really soak it all in.
Look at this goofball. Look at him.
Look at him, like, cheesing for the camera.
There's real Ted Lasso energy to this to this animal here. Oh, this guy's good. And I know he's a fish. I get it. I understand how fish's brains work.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does look like he wants to be my friend.
They look super happy. I've never seen a fish look more psyched to be a fish. They're like, I'm a fish. Heck yeah. I'm in water. Yes.
This is the fish version of like a quokka, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just showing up being like, hey.
It definitely has that quokka look for sure. And the thing that helps it with this smile is it has teeth. It looks like
people teeth.
It has people teeth. It looks like a character, like a DreamWorks character or something, except like less uncanny. Like, it actually looks more convincing to me as like a little.
Because it's real?
Because it's, well, yes. But I mean, it has.
Because it's not an animated movie.
But its human expression is more like, it feels more human, I guess, or less Uncanny Valley than like the animated versions.
Yeah, his Pixar looking idiot face is it's layered with primary colors, which is real fun.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing that's why they call it the parrotfish, right?
Yeah. Well, this one, so there are many species of parrotfish. This one I think is the Mediterranean parrotfish. It's gorgeous. It's red, yellow, and blue. There are other species as well. And all the species of parrotfish typically have these goofy smiles. So there are like blue ones. There's blue and orange, blue and yellow. They're all quite beautiful.
Good stuff.
And in addition, like, they're called parrotfish because in addition to their beautiful tropical colors, they also have those teeth, which are like beaks.
Oh, that's good stuff. And also because pirates would put them on their shoulders, but it didn't go as well.
This thing flopping around. Put me back around in the water.
Damn. Yar, me. Me parrot seems to be having a problem here.
Oh, I have a family in the kelp.
You should go visit this guy. They're in Mediterranean, right?
Yeah, I could. I could go and say hi. Be like, hey, just like swim out there. Get in. Somewhere in the Mediterranean and find them.
Yeah, you like, where are these goofy little tools at? And then you have him bring him like, oh, look at him, he's so fun.
Yeah, he looks very like he's got the. I mean, we talked earlier about the DreamWorks thing. You know the like DreamWorks smirk, how like all the characters always have that little like sideways smirk into the camera. It's like I'm a bit of a stinker kind of look. Like that's what he's giving here. Like I'm a little bit of a stinker.
Yeah, this is voiced by Mel Blanc energy in this face, yeah.
So parrotfish are a family of around 90 fish species. They're mainly found in the Indo-Pacific, in coral reefs, coasts, and seagrass forests. Their name obviously comes from the fact that they have a beak and they're these bright colors. Although, to me, it looks less like a beak and more like this like big buck-tooth smile.
Yeah.
They use these teeth to scrape algae and the living tissue, which is called polyps, off of coral. So coral are these really hard structures that contain these symbiotic algae and also the living tissue of the coral. And so the parrotfish wants to eat this stuff. And to do that, they have to grind up coral. And so that seems like that'd be pretty hard on your teeth. Like if we tried to basically eat a big bowl of coral, it would destroy our teeth. And so they have to have pretty special teeth for this. And their teeth are actually a bunch of tiny teeth. They have over 1,000 teeth lined up in vertical stacks, which continually grow and get replaced. Oh, same?
Yeah.
So how is that? Yeah, how is that? Did you have like braces or like?
I had a lot of, but the braces cost $85,000.
Invisalign maybe? Yeah.
No, I'm actually, you know, funny enough, I'm actually missing two teeth. I have less teeth than one would expect.
I see. Well, you know, less teeth to floss, right?
That is true. And just these big gaping cavities. I don't call them church teeth. But like if you look slightly past my smile, you could see, be like, oh, that guy's missing like two teeth in there.
Well, you know, I mean, again, I think that it's more streamlined, fewer teeth to floss. But if
you're not wrong,
if
I do get like huge chunks of stuff stuck in there, though, massive.
Boy. Oh, boy.
And then you're like, I should floss this out.
Do you have one of those like syringes of water that you can kind of like jet in there?
Spray it out. Just get a water pick for this one huge gap. And yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah. I mean, like,
silly.
I mean, I had the sort of water syringe for when I got my wisdom teeth out because I got all four out at once. And there was a lot of holes in my mouth. And
I've a
shocking amount of food gets in there.
Yeah, one would think. Yeah. I still have my wisdom teeth. I still have those, but I did after years of whatever sports that you do, your teeth sometimes just
clear.
And so I was like, well, I guess just pull them out. And they're like, do you want an implant? It's only $10,000. I'm like, oh, you don't know what job I have.
It's only your firstborn son. Yeah.
Meanwhile, these guys are doing great.
Yeah, they could really be boxers because like their teeth are constantly growing. So when one falls out, like, there's more to replace them.
So they have like the beaver energy of like having to like use them or they just go through your face basically.
I mean, I don't know of any of them that where that happens, but it's because their only way of eating is using them. So like that is their only option is to eat the coral and use them. They do grow. And so like, but instead of it being one solid tooth growing, it's like these like stacks of teeth growing upwards vertically.
Way more terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you're afraid of 1,000 teeth in one smiling mouth, but hey, you know.
That's like venom.
But that's
from
more
Spider-Man,
that's
just having
like,
all those teeth.
It's more smile per square inch, in my opinion. So
That is fair, but like it's funny because you look at it and yeah, he looks like he's wearing clown teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks like he's wearing like, and then you look closely and you see that it's just 1,000 tiny daggers, and you're like, this is way different than what I was expecting.
It's a lot of smile. So the teeth are harder than copper, and a square inch of parrotfish teeth can withstand over 500 tons of pressure. Microscopic viewings of the teeth show that each tooth has a dense chainmail-like pattern that gives it such resilience. So this is how they can chew through coral without really breaking a sweat. They are responsible for creating a huge amount of sand. So when they eat this coral, they grind it up, they digest the polyps and the algae, but they don't digest the like coral skeleton, and so after that's ground up, they don't really eat it. So sand is a byproduct. So one parrotfish can chew its way through enough coral to create around 1,000 or 450 kilograms of sand annually.
That's not a lot of sand.
That's a lot of sand.
Because didn't they say there's like a sand? We're going through like a sand deficit right now.
Yeah, I think there's some things where like sand beaches are becoming less sandy. I don't think there's necessarily a sand deficit in the ocean, but definitely for beaches.
No, like for like, let me rephrase it, for like American manufacturing and building,
sand is
like, it's becoming like the concept of sand is becoming endangered, I guess.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I don't know too much about like industrial sand running out, but I guess that would stand to reason if you have less sand on beaches, then you have less sand to collect as industry.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I guess, you know, there's a lot of us on here and there's 8 billion of us needing glass and brick and all these different things. And apparently sand is a huge ingredient that we never think about.
Yeah. And I guess
meanwhile,
like
these guys are just making it.
Right. And I mean, it's interesting because like they are, because they rely on coral reefs, like if we are destroying coral reefs through climate change, industry pollution, then like, you know, it's kind of this vicious cycle of like we're taking sand out and then also taking out the animals that make the sand. So that's bad.
I mean, honestly, we could probably do the planet better. Yeah. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that.
Yeah, a bit of a controversial take, but I too agree that maybe we should be like a little less bad when it comes to like, you know, the Earth. Like maybe kill, I don't know, a couple fewer species per year.
Yeah, I do like the laziest versions of that where I'm just like, I mostly don't eat meat. Or like, I drive a Prius Prime. That can plug in every once in a while. They're all like very, very small, tiny little baby steps that in the long term, I'm like, I'm probably not doing anything, but whatever.
Well, I mean, I think that if everyone ate less meat, that would have a huge impact, right? If we all reduced our meat consumption, that would have a gigantic impact. Obviously, most like a disproportionate amount of the contributors to climate change aren't individual people, but industry. But still, I mean, I still think like if you can, even if you don't become vegetarian, like I'm not a vegetarian, but if you just like eat a little bit less meat, you know, like maybe eat more vegetarian meals, cut down your meat consumption, you know, that really helps when you do it on a massive scale. So, you know, I think that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. I would say, is this an edible fish, the parrotfish?
You know, I don't
know.
People
eat them?
Is
that something where they go for them? And
can you really, like, eat something that smiles at you? I guess the goldfish snack cracker proved that, yes, you can.
Yeah, I would also say that, yes, but humans will eat everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's one of those things where they're like, wow, this thing has a really cute smile. I bet it's going to be delicious.
Yeah.
Think about how many foods we eat that are based off of, that we have cartoons based off of, you know?
Yeah. Apparently, yes, people do eat parrotfish, which, you know, I guess anything that is beautiful in nature, I guess also tastes good.
I guess you don't want sand, everyone.
I guess you don't want sand. But yeah, so the sand that they create by eating the coral is not, it's not just like crumbs that they like spit out. They poop it out. It goes all the way through the parrotfish. So
look at that.
A lot of these beaches where it has this beautiful white sand, this is poop, parrotfish poop in part.
So think about that next time you eat a nice heaping glass of sand. That's poop you're eating. So maybe
right.
You should stop doing that.
That's poop you're vacationing on. But yeah, I mean, that just makes me want to stand on it more, I guess.
Yeah, because you feel closer to the smiling fish.
Right. I'm like, I'm enjoying your warm, dried poops. So
I'm gonna take my little baby rhino and my little weird rat. And we are going to just vacation on the parrot poop, the parrot fish poop, excuse me.
All smuggled in your JNCO jeans. So
all smuggled in my JNCO jeans that probably are covered in weird rodent piss. And,
I mean, you deserve it at that point.
Dried mud.
If you're trying to like smuggle a Patagonian Mara in your JNCO jeans, it's going to be covered in poop and pee. And, you know, that's sort of it's karmic retribution.
We like to call that a small price to pay, Katie. I will sacrifice my JNCO jeans for the good of this one moment.
Right.
Where I immediately let them out and the rhinoceros gores me right to death.
We're forcing friendship on a wild animal that has no idea what is going on. So, even though the parrotfish do chew on coral, they are actually good for coral reefs. So think of them as coral gardeners. By trimming some of the excess algae from the coral polyps are actually able to grow back stronger. So they're like pruning the coral, essentially. These amazing, beautiful, smiling fish, they're like maintaining our coral reefs, making us nice sand. They're wonderful, wonderful little guys.
And they get to look like a sweet little idiot while they do it.
They really do.
And that's really the best part. They look like such a good dudes. You know, you see him and you're like, hey, fish. And he's like, hey, man, how you doing? Like, there's exactly a real goofy energy to this fish. That is how they sound.
I love that. Like, I mean, it's really not a fluke. Like, you look at so many pictures of different parrotfish. They're all smiling. There's like, they can also do a closed mouth smile, which is really funny because of the shape of their beak. It kind of forces their lips upwards. So they look like they're doing this like doofy little closed mouth. Like, you know, I'm a little shy, but I'm still smiling.
A very coquettish smile from from this very, very sweet fish.
Like, oh, stop photographing me. But they love it. They love it.
Go on with that. You had people that painting it on the side of their World War II fighter planes, painting this one little sweet looking fish looking back at you.
Little coquettish fish, yeah. Winking. Yeah. Wink, wink. Oh, they're so cute. I'd love it if they flirted with me, but I think they're only interested in coral.
They're only interested in my coral jewelry that I've been wearing and
stealing from the ocean
by accident
yeah.
all the time. Yeah.
So before we go, like I mentioned earlier, we got to play a little game, and that game is called Guess Who's Squawking? It's the Mystery Animal Sound Game. Every week I play a mystery animal sound, and you, the listener, and hey, you, the guest, try to guess who is squawking. Last week's hint was this. As a fellow introverted redhead, I sympathize with sometimes wanting personal space. All right, Jeff, can you guess who is squawking?
Is that an orangutan?
You are correct.
No.
Congratulations also to Auntie B, Craig K, and Grant W, who were the fastest to guess correctly the orangutan. So, yes, this is the call of a male orangutan. Bonus points. What do you think he is trying to say?
I think he's probably saying, back off. This is my territory.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. So orangutans are found in the rainforests of Borneo and Sumatra. Despite their large size, they spend most of their time in trees, in nests that they actually build themselves. The construction of their nests is intricate and requires advanced intelligence as well as learning from their parents. There's evidence that different groups of orangutans build nests using different techniques, indicating that they actually have these different learned cultures. Orangutans are relatively solitary, but also flexible in socializing. They'll establish their own home range, but they can typically visit other ranges without too much trouble, and they may interact with other orangutans. But if they feel that their range is being threatened or someone is invading their personal space, they'll issue what is called a kiss squeak, which they suck air through their lips and make this kind of like sound. And then they will do this like rolling call, which is the latter part of what you hear, the whoop, 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 to tell you to back off. And that's exactly what this orangutan is doing.
And if you're a person, he will tear your arms off.
Yeah, I mean, they will defend themselves. I wouldn't say they're that aggressive, but they are definitely capable. They're extremely strong and very capable.
Strong, yeah,
yes, very capable. I have a friend who worked with orangutans at a nature preserve. They were friendly with the rescuers, but once one of them kind of grabbed her arm because he wanted to, like, basically get her to go in a direction he wanted to go, and it was like she could tell he was going to like break her arm on accident. And so she had to like kind of yelp, you know, in pain. And like when the orangutan saw that he was like hurting her, he looked like shocked and really sorry. But yeah, yeah, can just
see that.
Easily break your arm without even realizing it. So you do not want to piss them off and have them try to break your arm, because yeah, that would, you know, it'd be
I
like
have a friend who is an orangutan.
Really?
I have friends with the Dr. Z, Dr. Zayas. He's a good friend of mine. I mean, the joke is we don't break kayfabe, but if you ever watch Hanging with Dr. Z, it's a great show. It's really fun.
Dr. Zayas, Dr. Zayas.
Little orangutan.
Dr. Zayas, Dr. Zayas. Dr. Zayas,
right.
Dr. Zayas. Oh, Dr. Zayas.
Oh, Dr. Zayas. Yeah. If you haven't seen Hanging with Dr. Z, I think you'd really like it, by the way.
I'll definitely check it out.
It's a fun little thing.
Sounds like my jam. So, on to this week's mystery animal sound. The hint is that this is not quite a gobbler. So, Jeff, can you guess who was making that sound?
First off, the fact that it's like,
I know, right?
Is just perfect for me. I'm actually going to, I feel like the hint is influencing my choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, my guess off of the hint would be a turkey vulture.
Interesting guess. Well, you'll find out next week on the next episode of Creature Feature. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find you?
Thank you for having me. I'm across several social medias, as long as they still exist upon publication.
Gotta diversify your investments.
Boy, do we. I'm at Hey There Jeffro, HeyThereJeffro. And as Katie mentioned earlier, I am a podcaster by definition. So you can hear me on Jeff Has Cool Friends, which is available for free everywhere, but early at patreon.com/JeffMay, where you can hear that and monthly shows like Ugh Fine with Kim Kral, as well as Nerd with Dre Alvarez. You also might know me from Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on the Gamefully Unemployed Network with Tom Ryman. You may know me from Unpopular Opinion and You Don't Even Like Sports, which is a sports podcast for people that hate sports. And those are both with Adam Todd Brown. I don't know if you can notice the theme of my co-hosts here, Katie, but it's people you worked with.
That's interesting. Huh.
What a coincidence. Weird how that happens,
weird
right?
Weird how that works. You're also, you can also see you on Netflix winning any money.
You can see me on the game show Bullshit on Netflix, where I had quite an interesting filming and did quite well, and then they edited out the victory, but I still get some fun moments on that, so I'm in episodes 2 and 3, but it was a lot of fun. And I also throw a live comedy show the second Friday of every month at a place called Blast from the Past on Magnolia in Burbank. The name of the show is called Mint on Card. If you're a toy nerd, you understand that. It's a lot of fun, very free, second Friday of every month, so come on down.
Great. And to my Italian friends, that's in Los Angeles, so it's not far away at all.
No, you can make it.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Barely a hemisphere away.
Right, exactly. If what's his name? Da Vinci can do it. I forgot who the guy, Galileo. No, who's the one? The murdery one, Christopher Columbus. If he can do it, anyone can, because he sucked.
He sure did. I think somebody on the internet should mention that sometime. I think the internet should address that Christopher Columbus wasn't a good guy.
I'm the first one, actually.
Yeah. I'm certainly not like, yeah, man, we know at this point in time.
Right. No. I'm the first to point it out. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you think you know the answer to the Mystery Animal Sound Game, you can write at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. You know, I don't even know what is going to happen to social media, but, you know, I'm Creature Feature Pod on Instagram. I'm Creature Feet Pod on quote unquote Twitter. That's FEAT, not FEET. That is something very different. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show and you read a rating and you leave a rating or review, I immensely appreciate it. I read them all, really appreciate it. And thanks to the Space Cosmics for their super awesome song. Exolumina Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. I don't judge you. I literally, you can listen wherever you want, and I won't be mad. I promise. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.